Good evening. Here's your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, December 23rd. Conservationists are handing Donald Trump a short list of species that need protections.
As the Obama administration prepares to hand over the reins to President-elect Donald Trump, the Endangered Species Coalition has produced a top 10 list of at-risk species in need of protections. The greater sage grouse, the centerpiece of an ongoing federal effort to conserve more than 60 million acres of western lands, made the list. Haley Hawkins with the coalition says the iconic bird's populations have declined by 97% due to clear-cutting and oil and gas development.
We are asking the next administration to vigorously oppose any congressional attempts to discard the federal conservation plans. More than 350 dependent species will also suffer if the grouse isn't strongly protected.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service decided not to put the bird on the endangered species list after a conservation strategy was forged between private landowners, 11 states, and the federal government. The plan has ruffled feathers in some red states, and Congress has introduced measures that would allow governors to override protections. The coalition is also urging the Trump administration to build no new walls along the U.S.-Mexico border, which threaten the jaguar and other species, and to replace existing metal walls with barriers that allow wildlife to pass. Hawkins says jaguars used to roam across the U.S., but only six are known to have lived in Arizona and New Mexico since the mid-1990s.
Our wildlife is part of the public trust, meaning they, quote-unquote, belong to all of us. And I don't see anything more American than protecting that.
Also making the top 10 list of species needing protections are gray, Mexican, and red wolves, the vaquita porpoise, yellow-faced bees, Snake River salmon, the Joshua and bald cypress trees, elkhorn coral, and the African elephant. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Freshman Congressman Ryan Zinke from Montana is President-elect Donald Trump's pick for Interior Secretary. Last week, Zinke said he was, quote, honored and humbled to be asked to serve Montana and America. The Interior Department oversees one-fifth of federal lands in this country, including national parks from Yellowstone to the Grand Canyon. For Inside Energy, Nikki Willett of Montana Public Radio reports.
The nomination unleashed a mixed bag of reactions.
We're hoping for the best and preparing for the worst.
That's Drew Caputo, Vice President of Litigation at Earth Justice's headquarters in San Francisco. Earth Justice is a law firm that frequently litigates endangered species, water, and public lands issues.
Congressman Zinke has shown some important independence from kind of Republican Party orthodoxy on a couple of environmental issues.
For example, Zinke talks big about keeping public lands in federal hands and broke from the GOP in voting in favor of clean energy funding for the Department of Energy.
He prides himself on being a Theodore Roosevelt Republican.
That's Land Tawney, the CEO of Missoula-based Backcountry Hunters and Anglers.
You know what Theodore Roosevelt did when he helped set aside this large public land estate that we have, and so it's just important for him to continue that legacy. And he said he wants to do that, and that we expect him to do that.
Tawney says Zinke's nomination could be a boon to hunters and anglers, in part because the congressman supports the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which uses federal oil and gas royalties to buy and protect properties. However, Earth Justice's Caputo again.
Literally the rest of his voting record during his 2 years in Congress is awful for the environment.
Zinke has voted against new fracking regulations on federal public lands, voted to limit the president's ability to designate national monuments, and has favored bills with riders that weaken the Clean Water and Clean Air Acts. This voting record earned him a low 3% rating from the League of Conservation Voters last year. In addition, Caputo worries Zinke may feel beholden to fossil fuel industries, which contributed $200,000 to his 2016 campaign.
In order to be an effective Interior Secretary and to steward these priceless public resources that belong to all Americans, a critical part of the job is standing up to industry.
For their part, industry leaders are optimistic a Zinke-led Interior Department will mean a rollback in current oil and gas leasing and drilling restrictions on federal lands. Alan Olson is the executive director of the Montana Petroleum Association.
What we would like from Ryan is regulatory certainty.
Olson says under the Obama administration, rulemaking has skyrocketed, adding burdens to an already overregulated industry. Olson says the BLM should take a note from how Western states regulate on state lands.
You know, I think we can cut down our permitting time. I think there needs to be some look at the cost of drilling permits.
Zinke is also receiving strong support from Indian country. William Snell is a member of the Crow Tribe and is executive director of the Rocky Mountain Tribal Leaders Council.
You know, he's been a listener and has listened to our needs, and I think he understands those needs.
Snell says quality of life on reservations can change for the better if the Interior Secretary has experience working with tribes, as Zinke does. And he hopes Zinke improves the government-to-government relationship between federal agencies and tribes, an issue front and center in the Dakota Access Pipeline dispute.
I know that the law requires consultation with tribes, but we hope it's not just a gesture and a process, not something that just has to be done, but actually a true partnership.
Moving forward, Congressman Zinke's appointment will need to be confirmed by the Senate, which could happen any time after President-elect Trump is inaugurated on January 20th. For Inside Energy, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
When families and friends get together through this holiday season, the presidential election could come up, causing tension between folks who usually get along. But there are ways to keep the conversation civil.
We respectfully agree to disagree may be the mantra heard at many office parties and holiday gatherings across the country. Emotions are still charged for a lot of people after the presidential election. Pari Saparsa of Essential Partners says everyone needs to ask themselves if they're grounded enough to resist angry outbursts and frustration, and if they can listen and speak with care so they don't damage important relationships. She says avoiding political conversations for now might be a good idea if people are feeling tense, but eventually everyone should be able to talk about it.
Long term, it does our democracy, our families, and ourselves a big disservice not to go to the tough stuff, because those deeply held values and positions come out of our personal experience.
Tips to avoid a big conflict include recognizing the signs of polarization, agitation, and strong emotion before they get out of control, practicing ways of speaking, listening, and asking questions that foster sincere curiosity, and avoiding the pattern of attack and defend. Joan Blades with Living Room Conversation says no one should completely avoid talking with those who have differing opinions, because debate is very beneficial.
When we fail to talk to people with different viewpoints, and just talk to people that think like us, we actually make our own viewpoints more extreme. That's a disaster for having a successful democracy.
Parsha says arguing about viewpoints doesn't usually change anyone's mind, and more information about a topic doesn't persuade anyone, since both sides usually have their own sets of facts to support their arguments. She says you can't have a full relationship with someone unless you can talk things out.
When we reduce someone to their political positions, we're not able to see them fully, and we're losing out on the opportunity to relate around other things that are common concerns. So when we're seeing each other in stereotypes, we're putting ourselves in a box as well.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your regional newscast for Friday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould.